Chapter number 2, Joshua chapter number 2. I'm honored to get to be here. I told somebody I felt like when I was a younger preacher, I'd come to meetings like this, and I was wanting to build a name. Y'all don't look at me that way. And I'd get almost offended when I didn't get to preach. Y'all don't look at me that way. Amen. And now I come to these meetings and I'm looking for somewhere to hide. Amen. Especially after the preaching that's come over this pulpit in these days. I don't belong here. I'm like that three-legged mule on the Kentucky Derby. I don't belong here. Amen. And I'm up against supper. Preacher don't like me too good. Put me up against supper. But that's all right. If you can just endure to just the end of this, you'll get something good to eat. Amen. Amen. I appreciate the good atmosphere that's here. And I've never been here. First time I walked on these grounds just a day or two ago. But I am convinced this is a place God has planted here. And I thank God for it. And I feel liberty already. And I thank the Lord for it. Joshua chapter number 2. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Verse number 15. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourself there 3 days. Boy, ain't that a good number in our Bible. Until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's house home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we come before you today. Lord, I'm thankful that we can call you our God. Lord, you are God. Besides you, there is none other, and beyond you, there is nothing. Lord, sanctify your servant now to the uttermost, lest anything sinful, selfish, carnal, or amiss dwell within me. And God, I want to ask you now that you would indwell and, Lord, fill this vessel now. Lord, I pray you'd be pleased to use us if that's your will. I pray preaching will come easy. Lord, say something today that'll help somebody breathe on us. Oh, God, we've got to have the breath of God today. I pray, Lord, you'd breathe on us afresh and anew. Give us divine unction and utterance that it takes to preach. God, would you let the power of God rest on the Word of God? And Lord, don't let us get without the bounds of the Word. But God, would you fill us and let the Word of God dwell effectually among us? Dwell richly here today, Lord, I pray. Accomplish your pleasure. And Lord, whatever you do, we'll thank you and we'll praise you and realize, God, it's nothing of man. It's in the eternal able name of Jesus that we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. You can be seated. I'm interested in this line of thread, this scarlet thread. We know, you Bible readers know, the children of Israel have now come 40 years through the wilderness. Isn't it amazing that God got Israel out of Egypt in one night? And then it took 40 years to get Egypt out of Israel. And they've been wandering in the wilderness wilderness, a whole generation's died because of disobedience and unbelief. I've got news for you. We're seeing them fall today because of disobedience and unbelief. And most of the ones that are falling ain't falling. They're laying down. I wish I had somebody to help me. God, help us today. They've been wandering 40 years. And now they've come to the brink of the Jordan. Joshua sends them two spies over. And the God of heaven directed them to the house of a harlot by the name of Rahab. She's heard about them. She's heard about Zion. She's heard about Og. She knows about Israel. Hey, friend, the heathen have heard about God and about his people. Amen. They didn't hear about God's people because there's a bunch of limp-wristed, a bunch of yellers, sorry, no luck, no God-fearing, no power-having people. But they had the touch of God, the power of God. Everybody knew they was on their way. Their hearts melted within them. They knew destruction was coming. They knew they were no match for God and his people. And Rahab brings them in, hides them. I don't know, you'll have to take this up with God, but she lies to the men on behalf of the people of God. I don't recommend that, but it just happened and God somehow honored it. But here she's hid them and made them to swear by an oath, and then she lets them down. Her house is on the wall. She lets them down through the window, that out the wall, down the window, and down to the ground below by a scarlet thread. And as she's feeding them down there, they said, if you'll hang this thread in the window, when we come in, we'll make an oath with you. You realize they made an oath they really couldn't keep. Amen. They had to depend on God to keep their deal. Amen. Hey, can I just time out right there and say, I'm not keeping my end of the deal. I'm depending on God. And if it were not for God, I'd be in hell. Oh, honey. But he's as good as his word. And his word's as good as he is. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all gonna hurt a fat boy. Amen. Hey, here she's letting them down. And they said, if you'll just tie this cord in your window and let it hang down. And so literally we could say that her life is hanging by a thread. Amen. That scarlet thread's anchored in her window and it's blowing back in two. And it's there. And no doubt everybody comes by and sees it and makes fun of her, thinks she's lost her mind. I mean, Israel's coming. We're going to all die. And here you have got that little old thread. There's no way that'll help you. Oh, she no doubt sometimes got to thinking, maybe I am crazy. Maybe this thing might not work. But friends, she just left the thread there. She just let it hang there. Hey, amen. I don't know about you, but there's times in this life when I get to wondering, I get to thinking, you know, I'm going crazy. I'm losing my mind. This thing, y'all don't look at me that way. Sometimes we get to walking by faith and living by faith. And somebody wanted to quote that verse, perfect love casteth out all fear. But friend, where I'm living, fear and faith run a close avenue together. Hey, hey, God help us. Those times I get to thinking, I'm just barely hanging on. I'm just hanging by a thread. Oh, but friend, according to the word of God, if you're hanging by a thread, God can still take care of you. Amen. Amen. Let's turn right four chapters.
We get to chapter 6 now. The spies have gone back. They've reported. They've come across the Jordan. They've camped at Gilgal. That's a good first stopping place. When you've made it into Canaan, that cutting away place, they get there. They build some monuments. They lay some markers. Amen. They weren't tacking names on the ends of every pew. I hope it ain't on these pews. They weren't tacking names on the ends of every pew. But they was laying some ground aside to tell their young'uns, God did something for us. I'm a whole lot more interested. Hey, somebody listen to me. I'm a whole lot more interested in what God's done than what Granny and Pawpaw's done. I'm a whole lot more interested in what the God of heaven can do than what some ancestors done. Amen. They come. The first city's there. They march around the city 7 days. On the seventh day, 7 times. We know from this side of the story, looking back, that God gave the victory. But I want to preach to us for just a little bit and put us in the house of Rahab. Not there as that house of the harlot, but put yourself in her shoes. How many of you would, you don't have to lift your hand, but how many of you would say, preacher, there's times I just feel like I'm just barely hanging by a thread. I feel like I'm about to go under. I'm just about to die. I won't never get ahead. I'm just barely hanging on. Friend, you just keep your Bible open. I believe God's got something for you today. Now, I will confess this. If you're going to get any help today, you're going to have to get hurt before you get help. I got to tell you, sometimes you go to the doctor, they'll have to hurt you to help you. And I don't like doing that kind of preaching. But I'm going to have to take us low before we can go high. I'm going to have to hurt before I can help. And it's probably going to bring some things up in your heart that only you and God knows about. And that's all right. It can stay between you and God. But when God puts his finger on it, we better do business with him about it. Or he will go to telling others about it. Amen. When you're hanging by a thread. Chapter number 6. Here they are. She's living on the town's wall. Here comes Israel. They're marching around the wall. Guess what's about to fall when you get to chapter number 6? The wall. That is, if the writers are correct, that is the back wall of her house. That is the part of her dwelling. That means her house is about to come down. Now, where did they tell her to go? They said, you go in the house. You shut the door. You block off that means of escape. You commit. You go all in by faith. And you come in the house. And then they're about to tear the house down. Number one, when you're hanging by a thread, it may get worse. Amen. I mean, she's inside the house. All she's got is this little thread, and the wall's about to come down. She's in the house and everything's all right. She's got mama and daddy. She's got her brothers and her sisters. Her whole house is there, but things are about to get shook up. Amen. You're here today. You think, oh, preacher, it can't get no worse. You better buckle up, honey, because it may just get worse. Amen. Oh, I'm so tired of this new age movement. I'm telling you, funnel money into their church and all your troubles will disappear. I got news for you. That lying crowd, they ain't got no God on them. Oh, friend, I wouldn't discourage nobody for nothing, but I'm glad I didn't know now when I started what I know now. Because I might have got so discouraged that I'd have quit on the way. Oh, friend, it may get worse before it gets better. Number two, here comes Israel. Seventh day, they're marching around the walls. And Joshua gives the command, blow the trumpet. That's a sound of victory. Shout. That's a noise of victory. Now, just time out right there. Some of you other preachers can try that. Can write this down, take it home and study it and preach it. If you'll outline it real good and bring it back to me, I'll preach it. Amen. Here they are. They're shouting and ain't nothing happened yet. They're sounding the trumpet. The joy has erupted and nothing's happened yet. They're still on Israel's side. Now, y'all stay with me. On Israel's side, they're still looking at their problem. They're still looking at their obstacle. And the man of God said, shout. What's wrong with him? There ain't nothing to shout about. Amen. Oh, friend, I'm glad. When I'd rather shout, I can pout. When I'd rather pout, I can shout. Amen. Things sometimes don't look real good, but I'm looking further than what these eyes can see. And I got a King James Bible right to say. Amen. Now, here comes Israel. We're back at Rahab's house. Y'all with me? Amen. She's looking out the window. Here they start shouting. Number one, when you're hanging by a thread, it may get worse. Number two, others may worship while you want to weep. Amen. I'm for shouting. Amen. I believe under them britches legs, Brother Shane's got a set of spurs on. Amen. He comes in here and he stirs this thing. He'll go to spurring and kicking and shouting. Amen. I'm for every bit of it. Amen. But there's been times I've been places. Somebody get with me now. There's been times, Brother Wayne, I've been places. Everybody else was shouting. And I'm over here thinking, what in the world's wrong with me? Things have got so bad in my life. My circumstances are so bad. My load's so heavy. Everybody else is wanting to worship, and here I am broke. I'm wanting to sit over there in the corner somewhere and weep. Oh, friend, when you get in them places, don't you listen to the lie of the enemy. God ain't forgot about you. Hey, child of God, God ain't forgot where you are. He knows where that scarlet line, whoa, hallelujah. He knows where that scarlet line is. And he's seeing the shout down the road. Thank God while they're worshiping, you just weep by faith. Amen. Have mercy. Glory to God. Amen. It may get worse. I told you I may have to hurt you. It may get worse. Preacher, it can't get no worse. You better get ready. It may get worse. Amen. Everybody else just wanting to worship. You wanting to weep. Amen. Number three, it's just, we're going deeper. Notice what's said in verse number 22. I'm in chapter 6, verse 22. But Joshua said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house. Now, he could have went all day without saying that. Amen. He could have called her the young lady. He could have called her the ma'am, the missus. He could have called her a lot of things, but he calls her the harlot. Amen. Not only it may get worse, others may worship while you weep. Your weaknesses may be witnessed. Amen. God may bring you to a place where it's not just you and him that knows your troubles, but it's shouted from the rooftop. Amen. I mean, he labels her. You go down there, that harlot. Amen. I mean, she's already, now I understand this scarlet line is a picture of the blood. She's already in. She's been saved. Her house, by the time you get to verse 22, has fallen. The walls on the ground. But he's still calling her a harlot. Amen. Everybody may realize that you ain't got everything together before you get out the other end of this thing. But that's all right, honey. I heard Paul say, God, take this thorn out of me. And God said, no, but I'll give you grace. And he said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Hey, I got an announcement to make. God's attracted to weakness. If he weren't attracted to weakness, he couldn't be attracted to nothing but himself. Amen. Your weaknesses may be witness. Y'all just hang on. We'll shout in a minute. Preacher, you mean somebody may find out my secrets? May. You're not going to always get to be the knight in shining armor. You're not going to always get to be the one that's got it all together. Amen. I'm real leery of them people that always do appear to have it all together. Because I'm living in a real world. They can live in their little worlds if they want to. But I'm telling you what they're doing. They're lying to this young generation. And the first time, I wish somebody get, is this thing on? Y'all put me in Baptist gear. The first time trouble comes along, they've been looking at that little perfect crowd that's got the world by the tail, never has any trouble, never has sinned, amen. Hey, they preach against that sinless perfection, but they live like they want everybody to think they've got it. Amen. I'm not promoting sin, but friend, I'm as altogether undone as anybody you can find. I'm as filthy and wicked and wretched. I need grace. I need mercy every day. Hey, if you had to hear the things I've had to confess to God this week, you'd get up and walk out of here. Amen. Amen. And that little crowd wants to live in their little perfect world. And these young ones, the first time trouble comes their way and the first time they fall and the first time they mess up, they think, well, God don't love me. God's done with me. There's no hope. I got news for you. Sometimes real Christians, their weaknesses will be witnessed. Number four. Y'all gonna be glad to know I ain't got but five. Amen. Number four. Not only it may get worse. Not only others may worship while you weep. Not only your weakness may be witnessed. But notice this. Look at chapter 6. This is back. This is counterintuitive, I guess. And they told me not to preach this way, but that's all right. It's just the way God's given it to me. Look at chapter number 6. Let's back up in the chapter a little bit. In verse number 10, the end of the verse, he's telling them, in that day I bid you to shout, then you shout. Verse number 14, that was the first day. Verse number 14 is the second day. And then goes on for 6 days. Verse number 15 is the seventh day. And so now for a whole week, put yourself in Rahab's shoes now. Put yourself there. She's looking out at this window. And she's looking down the town's wall. And she's seeing that scarlet line, that thread that she's hanging by. And here comes Israel marching into town. And they come in. And they come by, and they go away, and she's hollering, Mama, Daddy, come here quick, I told you they were coming, they're coming to save us, they're coming with us. And day number one, she watches them come, and she watches them go, and she just knows, preacher, I'm about to get the help I need. You've walked in Landrum Independent Baptist Church, and here's that big red-headed preacher, and everybody says it's going to bring some help somebody, and you may be sitting here saying, well, here he came, and there he went. And I'm in the same mess I started in. Number whatever's next, just remain faithful in the wait. Here they came and didn't do nothing, and there they went. Hey, that same lying crowd will tell you, well, praise God, you just get in on one good meeting and God will fix everything. I got an announcement to make. He can, but that don't guarantee he will. Amen. Day number two, here they come, and there they go, and nothing. Day number three, here they come, there they go, and nothing. I'm going to tell you my personality. I'm ready to draw that scarlet line in. Say, I'm done with that crowd. Bunch of lying people. They've lied to me. Oh, no, friend. But day number four, she's back at the window. She may be gnawing on her fingernails by now, wringing her hands, wiping sweat. And nobody's wanting to come watch with her. Day number four, here they come. And there they go. Day number five, here they come. And there they go. Don't give up on the day before God does something for you. If you give up today, your victory may have come tomorrow. But if you quit, you'll never have it. Here they came. There they went. Preacher, there must be something wrong with me. No. There's a plan of God that she can't see. Hello. There's something happening behind the scenes that she's not realized yet. Oh, Brother Keith, she don't know things are not brought to fruition yet. Everything's not worked together yet. And she's wanting out just as quick as she can get. I got news for you, church. I didn't come to snatch you out of a valley 1 second before you're supposed to get out. I just come to share a little light while you're in a valley, while you're in a storm, to remind you, just be faithful, because He is.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Stay faithful.
Amen.
Stay faithful. Amen. Well, I ain't liking it. You never were commanded to like it. Let's be faithful. I don't understand it. Quit trying. Amen. His ways is higher than yours. Hello. I just don't get it, preacher. Quit trying to get it. Oh, friend, I don't always understand. I don't always understand why things has to happen. Oh, there's a young lady in our church, 10-year-old. They've been hit, their family, I've been after them 6 years. And they've just started coming. You know why they've started coming, 10-year-old? She's involved in a gang. I don't understand why that has to happen. But I can't see as far as God does. Oh, friend, don't give up today, because God may show up tomorrow. Hallelujah. Don't quit. I don't believe in luck, but it'd be just about my luck. If I quit today, God would show up with a big old truckload of something tomorrow. Hello. Is anybody with me? Amen. Just be faithful.
Yes, sir.
Well, preacher, it hurts. Nobody ever said it wouldn't. Just be faithful. Preacher, I don't understand. Nobody ever commands you to. Just be faithful. Well, preacher, I don't like it. Nobody ever said you had to. Just be faithful. And God's seeing further than you are. And He knows the end from the beginning. And if you'll just stay right with God, there'll come a day you'll be glad you did. Be faithful. I don't want to talk this way, but the Holy Ghost is going to make me. Brother Wayne, there's been times I've been to my prayer place. I got several of them. Amen. I got a secret place, but then I got another secret place, another. I got them places. Amen. And I got them places that I go to, and I'll get down and pray, and I'll do everything that the brethren told me I had to do to get a prayer through. Hello. Are y'all still here? I mean, I'll beat the floor. I'll make my voice shake. I'll try my best to make a tear come out. I'll do everything. I'll quote scripture. I'll hack while I pray. I'll do everything, Brother Jimbo, the brethren said you had to do to pray in the Holy Ghost. And get up. Brother Austin, these words has literally come out of my mouth. That was a waste of time. Now, y'all, if y'all want me to leave, if y'all want me out of here, I got a car that'll take me to Georgia. But I feel like I may be able to help somebody if you'll tune in and you'll listen. Oh, every time I've ever prayed, preacher, I wish I could say that I rung the bells of heaven. I got a hold of the altar and the angel said, oh, move over. That old big preacher's here. Amen. But the reality is there's been times that I've went to pray and I'd cry and I'd beg God and I'd get up and I'd say, that's a waste of time. And then I'd get under conviction about that and I'd pray again. I'd try again and I'd waste my time again. I'd get my Bible. I'd go to the secret place. I'd try to read it and it looked like blank pages. I couldn't get nothing from God. Oh, and I wish I could tell you that just happened every now and then, but it seems like a whole lot of times. Boy, I'm blowing somebody's theology. I thought every time you opened your Bible, manna fell out. Well, get on over here in the real world with the rest of us. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, the pull of the world gets us so vexed that we'll pray and it don't get no further than a voice does. But there's been a few times. There's been a few times. I'm feeling a little wind blowing. It's been a time or two that I'd go somewhere and I'd get on my face before, glory to God. I'd say, Lord, and he'd say, yes, son, here I am. I've been waiting to hear from you. Oh, friend, it ain't always glory, but in times that it is, it makes me want to be faithful. This time's open this Bible. And it's like there ain't nothing there. I don't know. This may be too transparent for some of you. If it is, I'll be going to Georgia in a minute and it's going to be all right. There's been times midnight on Saturday night. I know some of you spent 25, 30 hours on one message by then. But y'all just get with me and help me. We'll shout with you while you preach. There's times... Oh, God, I'm ashamed. It shames me and embarrasses me, but God's making me talk this way. There's times midnight on Saturday night. You young preachers, listen to me. I'm in my study, and I've read everything there is. I've been to drmikebagwell.org, amen. I've been to the sermon notebook. I've listened to every live on Facebook. I'll get started on something. Anybody done this? Get started on something, get the outline, and it just dry up right in the middle of it. It's like a wind blowed, and it just blowed right out the window. And I'm thinking, God, I got to have something. I got hungry people coming tomorrow. I got to feed them. Here I am. It's midnight. It's already Sunday and I ain't got nothing. I mean, not even a thought. Oh, and I'm wanting. It's not because my heart's wicked. It's not because I don't want it. But God knows better than I. And I think sometimes he does that to make me depend more on him and a lot less on this right here. I'm not against education. Is everybody listening? I'm not against education. Get all you can and then get some more. But when you go to depending on this right here and not him, when you go to realize that I got this thing figured out, I can build a nice, shiny, polished outline. I can say all the right things. Glory to God. When you get to depending on this, you're in a mess. But there's times. I got in trouble on Facebook. Y'all probably won't believe that. Some young preacher said, how many, and I don't even know who he was. He may be here and I may be digging a hole, maybe cutting my nose off, spite my face. I don't know, but I hope I ain't. I'm just trying to mind the Holy Ghost. Young preacher said, how many hours on average do you spend preparing for a message? I got to be the first comment. I said, it sounds like a pride fest is about to ensue. Yes, sir. I got rebuked up one side and down the other. Amen. There's times when hour after hour after hour after hour after hour, more hours than what I want to put in. I'm sorry if that hair lips you. More hours than what I even want to talk about, I put in. And there's times riding down the road or laying in the bed, the Holy Ghost says, and he goes to preaching faster than I can write. Amen. I'm sorry if that hair lips you. I'm sorry if not promoting, not studying. God ain't gonna talk to a man like that that ain't put hours in this book. But I can't put a measure on the message. Sometimes it takes hours to dig it out. And sometimes God says, there you go. I wish there's more times of there you go that it was them nights sitting in my study thinking, Lord, I ain't got nothing. It's 2 or 3 o'clock by now. Lord, how can I fake being sick so I don't have to show up anymore? Who can I call? Who's up this time of night? And all the while, God knows. And I get to church, I've thrown something together. I've stole something. I wish somebody else would admit that. I've stole something somewhere, thrown it together, and get to church, and the Holy Ghost blow in and never even have to open my Bible. Amen. He knows best. Amen. Just be faithful. Just be, well, preacher, my heroes have quit. Just be faithful. Preacher, the walls are crumbling around, but just be faithful. Preacher, nothing's happening. Just be faithful. Preacher, I don't have this kind of church where I came from. We don't enjoy this. Just be faithful. Amen. Just be faithful. When you're hanging by a thread, just be faithful. Just be faithful in the wait. Number 5, and I'm done. I probably come all this way just to preach that one point. Here we are, number five. Not only it may get worse, others may worship while you weep. Your weakness may be witnessed. You'll have to remain faithful in the wait. I told you we was going to get to shout. Y'all ready? What kind of line is this? Scarlet. Scarlet line. I know every preacher in here has preached it, but y'all just hang on. I've shouted with you, now you shout with me. That scarlet line. She's hid them among the stalks, among the flax on her roof. And she's let them back down by what they were hid within. Amen. I'm glad what's got me hemmed in is what I can depend on. Amen. And then she would take that flax, and it had to be dyed. It was dyed, and it was dyed with a crimson dye that came from the death and the crushing of a little worm. Y'all know Psalm, I don't have to even preach this. Y'all gonna shout before I even get there. Psalm 22, Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's the crucifixion chapter. And then he says, but I'm a worm and no man. That word worm does not mean the same word that all the rest of the places that it's used. That's that tola worm. That's the worm that Jesus compared himself to. And by the way, God created that tola worm, and it didn't just happen to point to Christ. He created it with a purpose to point to Christ. Amen. They say of this little tola worm that when it's time to give birth to young, it'll climb up and affix itself to a tree. Amen. And then literally for the young to be born, that parent worm has to die. It has to literally implode. It has to crush itself. And out of that body will flow that crimson fluid that will feed those young and sustain those young and give life to those young. Amen. That's the worm she'll crush up to make the scarlet that's in this line. By the way, it's anchored in Genesis when man sinned in the garden, and it flows all the way through the pages of this Bible. Friend, if you're hanging by a thread, just look at the thread and realize that the blood still works. Hey, honey, what Jesus did on Calvary still works. Amen. Amen. They say you strip the bark back where one of them worms has been, and there's an indelible mark put on the tree, and there's always going to be a mark there. Hey, I'm glad I may not have ever seen the tree at Calvary, but there is an indelible mark in me because my Father sent His Son to become our sacrifice. He climbed up on a cross. See, I told you it's going to get better. Y'all shouting over the blood now and done forgot about what's making you hang by a thread. Thank God the blood still works. Blood still works. One more thing about this worm. One more thing about this worm and I'm done. AD 70. Jerusalem is seized by the Romans. It's laid waste. It's become desolate. And the little bush that this tola worm lives on, it dies, and that becomes a barren land. You look on the map today, Israel's a very green land, but if you backed up prior to 1948, it's just a barren desert. And what brought that worm, or what attracted that worm, is now gone. And so in the land of Palestine, this worm became extinct until 1948, when they became a nation again and they began moving back in. They started that reforestation, and out of the desert southwest of Arizona in the United States, they brought a prickly pear cactus. They thought it'll live well over there. And guess what was back on that land that came on that prickly pear cactus? It was the tola worm. Amen. Hey, friend, I got news for you. He came to his own, and his own received him not. He came to Israel, and they wouldn't have him. They rejected the Father. John the Baptist is baptizing unto repentance. Repentance is always, always, always towards God the Father. They cut his head off. Rejected God the Father. Jesus came. They nailed him to a cross. Rejected God the Son. Stephen, a man full of the Holy Ghost, they throwed rocks at him and killed him, and rejected the Spirit. The Israelites have completely rejected God. Oh, but friend, when he seems extinct in Palestine, don't look now, but about 2,000 years later, he's coming back again. The worm, glory to God, is coming back to the land. You know how it's going to get there. It's going to be a prickly situation for about 7 years. They're going to be right in the middle of a cactus. Amen. They're going to be hurting. They're going to be begging for mercy. And then out of that eastern sky, it's going to open up. And on him, on a white horse whose vestures dipped in blood, here comes that worm. Woo! Glory to God. The worm is coming back. And when the worm comes back, the little ones come with him. Amen. Amen. Oh, friend. That thing that's got you hanging by a thread. You think about this. Out from the eastern sky, it's going to open up on that white horse with his vesture dipped in blood and on his head a crown, and the name King of Kings and the word of God on his thigh, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Every warhead's going to be pointed at him. Every enemy's going to try to take him out. Everybody's against him, but out of his mouth proceeds a sharp two-edged sword. Guess what that is? That's the same thing you're you're holding in your hand today. Out of his mouth coming a sharp two-edged sword. He's going to come to rest on the Mount of Olives. Walk down that Mount of Olives, in through that eastern gate, ascend that temple mound, sit down on the throne of his father David, rule and reign for 1,000 years, and thank God all of our troubles will be over. Preacher, I'm just hanging by a thread. I can't make it another day. Day number one with a brand new king is going to fix it all. I'm done. I'm done.